Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament reading from Amos, God has some pretty serious words for his people, Israel. Now, God had commanded Israel to do all kinds of things, right? All kinds of very specific things. For example, they had to celebrate the feasts. There were three main feasts every year, and every Israelite male had to travel to Jerusalem for those three feasts. It's pretty specific. It's like kind of a hard thing to do, too, to travel across the land of Israel to celebrate a feast for a week and then go back home. They had to make sacrifices, give offerings. Well, apparently they were doing those things. God doesn't say in this reading from Amos, why aren't you doing what I said to do with regard to those things? They seem to be worshiping God the way he's commanded them. Solemn assemblies are also mentioned. Not just assemblies, they're not just getting together. They're getting together solemnly, which is a proper thing to do, right? But God has words of warning for them. He says, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. Oh, that one hurts. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps, I will not listen. They're singing and making music to the Lord, and he's saying, I'm not going to listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So through the prophet Amos, God paints a picture of Israel being faithful to God outwardly, in worship, in offerings, singing, making music to the Lord. There's an outward appearance of worship. But God identifies a lack of the inner reality of faith, you could say. In the book of Amos, God calls out some of those specifically. People are swindling one another. They're not caring for one another. There's no justice. That's why he says, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. If you think about that image at the end, I think that's sort of the key. Let justice roll down like waters. Notice it's rolling down. Well, what's up there, right? God is the highest thing. God dwells in heaven. Where does water come from? Where does it come from in our world? It comes from above. It rains. Water comes down from above. And what does it do? It gives life. It waters the earth, makes it fruitful, makes it grow, gives us something to drink that we really, really need. We're made mostly of water. We need water. The earth needs water. And it always, always comes from above. Now, water does something else too, though, doesn't it? I was just using a texture sprayer yesterday, and you need water to clean it, right? If you use some kind of equipment, I'm sure farming equipment needs cleaning, right? You're going to want some water. Water cleans. Of course, it can clean on a small scale, and it can clean on a large scale. We saw that in the flood. Noah's Ark. God cleanses the earth with a flood. Water's powerful. It can be destructive. It can be cleansing. If you've ever seen The Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, I suppose, and the the cleansing of Isengard, right? The Ents, these big tree people, you could say, they dam up the river up on the mountain, and then they let it go in order to wash away the filth of Isengard, to wash away all the evil. But in the movie, the way it's depicted, you see the water just, I mean, let it roll down, right? It comes down the mountain with a fury. And you could say it's rolling down the mountain, and you can see what's coming, and then boom, right? It destroys the evil, cleanses it, puts out the fires. That's what God is saying here through his prophet Amos. Let justice roll down like waters and cleanse the land from injustice. Cleanse your hearts from injustice. Notice it's not something they're generating. He's not saying, I don't think you're even trying. Right? Not saying, you think you're giving it an effort? Well, give it more. He's saying, look, this is my job. This is what I do. I cleanse and I give life. And you're damming it up. Right? That's what he's saying. Right? You're stiff-arming me like Adam and Eve in the garden, not listening to him, not receiving his word, like we've been talking about the last few weeks. This is just, I guess, maybe this is just central to the Christian faith, or it's been in the themes, in the readings, right? But they're not letting the water come. All right? So there are two parts to the water, though, here, right? Let justice roll down like the waters. You can see it just pounding down the slope. And righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Well, that's a nice image, right? That's water you can use to irrigate. That's water you can drink from. It's water that's not going to kill you, right? You can grow roots next to that. So we see two works of God here, to kill and to make alive, as we often say as Lutherans, to cleanse and to nourish, you could also say. And both of those works are done by God in us. But boy, we can resist those works. Do they have to happen in us? No. We can reject God. Right? That's the story of humanity and sin, and the fall into sin, and our consequent destruction. So we pray, Lord, work in my heart, right? Send that cleansing water into my heart like water running down a slope, ready to wash away all the evil desires and the improper fears in my heart and replace it, right? Well, that's what faith does. Luther was all about faith, right? That's one of the solas. Sola fide, faith alone. Right? By grace, we've been saved through faith. Okay? So grace, well, it's not our doing. It's the gift of God. It comes from above. It's coming on down. And we can't do anything to make that happen, to get it. It's just coming on down. So by grace, through faith. Well, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Again, what do you do to hear something? You know? It just came right in. All right? You're just there. You just passively received that clap. And you didn't do anything to get that. It just came. We're saved by grace through faith. So faith is the means. And Luther says that the ear is the organ of salvation, you could say, which is great because it's passive. Somewhat. Right? Be an active listener, but it's passive. Luther says that faith is like a ring that holds a gem. The gem is Christ. So faith is the means by which we receive Christ. And pay attention to that. By faith, we receive nothing less than Christ. Right? Christ says in the Gospel of John, if anyone believes in me, I and the Father will come and make our home in him. We'll come dwell in you. That's a big deal. And when God comes and dwells in us by faith through his word, he's not just coming to sit around. And he's not just coming to leave us alone, like, okay, you know, or to be our cheerleader, like, okay, come on, you know what to do, let's go. Christ comes with all his gifts. Everything that he is and has, he gives to us, and he takes from us everything that we have, which is a good thing. The wedding ring of faith. Faith holds on to something, nothing less than Christ himself. And Christ, he does God's work. What's God's work? Of cleansing and making new, like water. He comes to do that. Christ is coming. That's a serious thing. Christ is coming again to judge the world, to cleanse it from unrighteousness. And thanks be to God, when he comes, everything evil about us, all the sin that adheres in us, is going to be washed away. It's going. So those sinful desires that you hang on to, well, it's going away, which is painful in a way, because those desires are things we desire, right? But thanks be to God, he is cleansing us of that. And he's making us new completely. That's coming. Christ is coming. He's coming soon. And we need to be ready. Because what we don't want, like we've been talking about the last couple weeks, is to be caught flat-footed, is to be caught stiff-arming him. We want to be found in Christ. We want to be found with faith in Christ, receiving him and his work in us. That's why Paul, in Philippians 2, says very seriously, sound like scary words, okay? It's just scripture. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He means it. It's a very serious kind of thing, okay? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the second half is, for it is God who works in you to will and to work, to want it and to do it. God is working in you. It's not a surprise because he's given you his Holy Spirit. He's come to dwell within you, and he doesn't sit still. He doesn't come to hang out. He comes to do work, and he's doing that work in you. Don't set that aside. Right? Don't reject that. Don't fall asleep, but embrace it. Well, how can you embrace it? How can you do anything? Well, of course, I cannot by my own reason or strength, right, believe in Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts. Faith, this Godward attention, and being receptive, we can't do any of that on our own. God works that in us. That doesn't mean it's something to throw away or forget about, right? Embrace it. Work with it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's a big deal that God himself is in you by faith, working in you, coming to cleanse your heart and to give you life. Now, that's done on an individual level as God gives his Spirit and works in us that work that he'll bring to completion, Paul says in Philippians 1. It's done on an individual level, and it's done on a, you could say, congregational level, right? We, as a group, hearing God's word, having it work in us, and then speaking to one another. The official term for that in the Lutheran confessions would be the consolation of the brethren. Mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren, something like that, right? But that's something to be done among us also. To root out all those things that are divisive, like gossip, dissension, rivalry, deceit, pride, those kinds of things. To let God's word, to let God, through his word, work among us and actually root those things out so that we, well, repent. And then to have God working his, giving us his fruits, right? The fruits of faith, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let those things characterize our time together, our interactions with one another, our life together as his people. Because if we just don't care, if we're apathetic toward faith, toward God and his gifts, toward his work in us, toward his promises toward us, if we approach that with apathy, we're missing something. And here's the deal. It's a warning that faith, true faith, isn't present, because faith is that wedding ring that hangs on to Christ. It's a call to wake up. The 10 virgins are the church. We won't talk much about that, but they're the church. And they're virgins because of their purity. Just like the Israelites had, they had the word, right? They revered God's word, and they were listening to it. They were gathering together in solemn assemblies. They were celebrating the feasts and making the sacrifices. And on the outside, it looked like everything was going well. But he said, your hearts are empty. My work is not being done in you. Let justice roll down like the waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Let me do my work in you. Stop stiff-arming me. Well, the 10 virgins, 5 of them are wise, 5 foolish. 5 of them have the outward reality. They have this lamp that looks like it's going to be helpful, but it doesn't have what makes it work. It doesn't have the substance. Paul says that God's love has been poured into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. Faith is more than the words. It's more than coming to church. It's more than hearing that Jesus is my Savior and cognitively saying, yeah, I believe that. It's more, you've heard it said, it's a relationship, right? But it's this living and active thing, as Luther says, that receives nothing less than Christ himself. Thanks be to God. So, Christ warns us. He's coming back. And he encourages us to continue in faith, to receive God's gifts, to let God do his work in us. Not something that we do, right? Not something that we can make happen, but simply to receive water from heaven to cleanse us, to give us life. In Jesus' name, amen.